the foggy night on Old Cape Cod. A perfect night for a mystery. Tonight, Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater presents an alarming tale of treachery, buried treasure, and intrigue in a Captain Underhill mystery entitled The Golden Idol, The Magwitch, and The Donkey's Tail. Captain Waverly Underhill, the retired Cape Cod police captain, is about to have an opportunity to test one of his pet theories, that weddings are dangerous events.
People fail to look beneath the surface, Schofield, beneath the white lace and frosting. I've never seen a wedding yet that wasn't laden with the potential for violence.
He's right, too. And the bigger, the richer, the more dangerous. Which, if that's true, then the wedding coming up should be about the most explosive of the century, at least on Cape Cod, where there hasn't been an official royal wedding since the last Kennedy got hitched. It's the Kemps this time, the second most famous family on Cape Cod, who are about to withstand a wedding. The beautiful granddaughter, Carmeline Kemp, is engaged to marry a dashing young Frenchman, and Lady Kemp, the grand Lady Kemp, is not exactly giving away the bride. Enter Captain Underhill, who is about to be invited, not invited, more like summoned to the occasion. And it's certainly not for the purpose of being best man. More like just the opposite. After all, what would you call it when you're hired to come in and break up a marriage before it occurs? The worst man?
Waverly? Waverly, you're not still reading that newspaper. I've never seen anyone slower finishing a Sunday paper than you.
Not slow, just thorough.
What are you reading now? Oh, honestly, wedding announcements.
Yes, I've taken up reading them to balance out the obituaries. It's getting too depressing.
No, honestly.
And apt to be just as informative as any crime story on the front page. Sordid, too, in a similar way.
Are you equating crimes with weddings?
Oh, why not? Look at these pages. You see 100 smiling faces. I see 100 reasons for doom and heartbreak.
No, come now. Your marriage was a good one.
I don't mean marriage. I mean the wedding itself. The nuptials. Never seen one yet that wasn't an open invitation for violence. Two strange families coming together for the first time. All the stress and nervousness. It's an atmosphere for irrationality and rash acts.
Well, then, you'd better turn the page.
Oh? Why is that?
You'll see.
Oh. Oh, I do see. A Kemp getting married. Carmeline, is it? Which one is she, a niece?
No, a granddaughter. The matriarch, Lady Kemp's favorite grandchild. She's been living abroad 2 years, finishing her education.
Often that's code for getting her away from a relationship the family disapproves of.
That was it, exactly.
And now she's back.
Yes.
With a French fiancé.
Yes.
I noticed the photo credit is from Paris. Studio Le Pont Neuf. Taken over there. That, plus the fact this story is not tarred on the front page where you'd expect it. I wonder if Carmeline submitted this to the paper herself without the family's approval.
That's exactly what it was.
Excuse me, Alex. You don't seem to be guessing quite as much as I am. Lady Kemp, a patient of yours by any chance?
Waverly, you know how I feel about patient confidentiality.
I'll take that as a yes. What about the granddaughter, Carmeline? Is she a patient, too?
I'm not answering that.
Thank you.
Oh, all right. Lady Kemp is a patient. I see her a couple of times a year. I used to treat Carmeline's mother, too. That was many years ago. As for Carmeline, only once have I seen her. That was 23 years ago when she was being born.
You were the attending physician?
That's right. And that's something you don't get out of your newspaper. Birth announcements never give the doctor any due. When an orchestra plays a piece of music, the conductor at least gets some credit.
I'm sure you deserved it, too.
Well, I could tell from the delivery exactly what kind of a personality she was going to be. Stubborn to come out, stubborn to take her first breath. She had a hold of the umbilical cord in her fist like it was the reins of something. Headstrong little tyke even then. Scrawny, too. Hard to imagine she's grown up into such a beautiful young woman.
Yes, quite beautiful. Very attractive. And so's the groom. Wait a minute.
Her parents are divorced. Father, long since out of the picture. Mother living with her second husband in Texas, an oil baron who turned out to be more of a robber baron. They've been living off the family dole, but they never come home to the Cape. It's the grandmother, Lady Kemp, who's the real guardian, the one most concerned about Carmeline's welfare.
You seem awfully up on this.
Well, maybe I am.
Has Lady Kemp been to see you recently?
That's privileged.
A medical problem?
I can't tell you what it was about. It's totally confidential.
Not ill, is she?
No comment.
Okay. Let me ask this. Did my name come up?
Waverly, what a completely egocentric thing to say.
Just tell me.
I can't tell you.
Yes, you can. If my name was mentioned, I have a right to know.
No, you don't. And what if it was? I told her you never handle these kind of cases. You're a retired police captain, not a gumshoe.
When was this meeting? Yesterday?
Waverly, I already told her that...
What time is it? I'd better get dressed. If she arrives, entertain her, will you?
Waverly, she's not coming. Oh, my God, there's a limo pulling up outside. That's her chauffeur. Waverly, how did you know?
Sorry, Schofield. It's confidential.
But you don't do marital investigations.
Ah, but this is more than that. Quite a bit more.
Mr. Underhill, I'm Attorney Dix Braggers, and I represent Lady Kemp.
Yes, why don't you come in?
Lady Kemp wonders if it would be convenient for you to meet with her in her office. Dr. Schofield, she wishes you to come, too. The car is waiting.
Very well.
All right, I'm ready. Oh, you're the driver, too.
Yes.
It's very nice of you to come and pick us up.
Allow me.
Thank you.
Dr. Schofield, watch where you're sitting.
Oh, goodness, Lady Kemp, you're in here. I thought we were meeting you in your office.
This is my office. I found it more efficient. Mr. Underhill, how do you do?
Nice to meet you.
As you see, we have all the necessaries of a modern office. Fax machine, copy machine, conference table, cellular telephone. Mr. Braggers is my attorney as well as my chauffeur.
Must be convenient when you have accidents. You can sue and settle right on the spot.
I don't have accidents, Mr. Underhill.
Braggers, shall we drive? In neighborhoods like this, a limousine parked for more than 5 minutes attracts attention.
I thought that was the point.
No, it is not the point. Braggers, begin when you're ready.
Gentlemen, Lady Kemp wishes to have a private conversation with you that will not go beyond the walls of this meeting room. As her attorney, I am bound by attorney-client confidentiality. Therefore, anything you say will be held in strict confidence. I hope we can have the same assurances from you, gentlemen.
I won't say anything.
You mean, do I promise not to sell the story to the tabloids?
Precisely, Mr. Underhill.
How much are they paying for that kind of story these days?
Are you attempting to bargain or blackmail?
I'm curious, that's all. Yes, I'll promise.
Would you sign these, please?
What is it?
Just a statement confirming what you promised. Now, sign here. And right here. Thank you. Now, I'll just fax these to our files.
Amazing. You can do all that and drive, too.
Mr. Underhill, do you know why I've come to see you?
Not 10 minutes ago. I do now.
Dr. Schofield has told you.
I saw the wedding announcement. Congratulations.
Please, this is not a happy occasion. It's a disaster.
Are you sure? They look like a handsome couple.
Handsome is not the issue. He calls himself Fabulous, Victor Fabulous.
Ah, I see. Sounds like fabulous, fatuous, or flatulence.
Waverly!
My granddaughter says they met in Paris. Actually, it was Monte Carlo, where he was working as a nightclub singer, crooning to all the ladies. The man is French. He speaks no English.
So?
My granddaughter speaks no French.
Yes?
What attraction can there be if they can't even communicate?
Hearts have their own language, and so do hormones.
So do bank accounts, I'm afraid. My granddaughter is due to inherit a great deal of money, Mr. Underhill, when I die. This man has set out to ensnare Carmeline's affection for the purpose of getting his hands on it, I'm sure of it. Well, he's gotten this far, but he's not getting away with it. He's nothing but a charlatan and a gold digger.
Oh, now, Lady Kemp, can you really say
yes,
for certain...
Yes, Doctor, I can. Because I now know a great deal more than when I spoke to you yesterday. This man is an imposter. Do you know what his real name is?
I believe it's Count de Voyant. Count Fabien de Voyant.
Waverly, how do you know that?
I might say that's confidential, Alex. Or it could be I read the European Herald once a week. I recognized his face from a courtroom photograph that appeared a while back.
Courtroom?
His father, the Marquis de Voyant, is quite famous.
Well, I never heard of him.
You would have if you lived in Europe. Not quite as famous as the Marquis de Sade, but a dilettante playboy who married wine country royalty. He was recently put on trial for poisoning his wife.
Oh, no.
Yes. And the tabloids say it runs in the family. Apparently there was an ancestral relative, great uncle or something, also accused of the same crime.
Good heavens, this is serious.
You understand why something has to be done?
Not necessarily.
The man is a fraud.
Using an alias, yes. Wouldn't you? He may be trying to escape his family's bad reputation and start over. Start anew.
Does this look like starting over?
No. No, I admit it. It does look suspicious. So, you want me to investigate?
No. I want you to put a stop to it. End this relationship. Find some way to prevent this criminal travesty, this marriage from taking place.
I agree, Waverly. It's far too dangerous.
Why not simply go to Carmeline and tell her what you found out?
Because I believe she already knows. She lied about how they met. I can tell she's concealing other things. She's very determined.
Maybe she has a right to be.
Mr. Underhill, are you married?
I was.
Was it a good marriage?
Yes, it was.
Well, mine wasn't. And I know the pain of it. My daughter had two marriages, both disasters. Her life is ruined. She's living in Texas now, beyond my reach, beyond help. But Carmeline has not ruined her life. Not yet. I intend to do anything in my power to save her from being the biggest mistake she'll ever make. Maybe you've never had grandchildren yourself, or you'd be...
No, I understand your concerns. They're justified. If I were in your shoes, I'd be doing something about it, too. Well, it's lucky you came to me. How much time is there before the wedding?
2 weeks.
Well, that may be enough. Yes. Yes, all right, Lady Kemp. I'll handle this case. I'll accomplish what you're asking. In the meantime, you can go home. Even go along with the wedding plans. You don't have to pretend to be happy about it, but don't do anything forceful or rash to prevent them. We don't want to precipitate any move such as them running off and eloping.
Mr. Underhill, one other thing. Whatever you do, you must do it in a way that Carmeline never suspects I had a hand in it. I've been accused once before of meddling, getting her away from that first horrible man she was going to marry. She's told me exactly what will happen if I interfere again. I want to save her, Mr. Underhill. I don't want to lose her forever. You understand that?
Of course we do, Lady Kemp, of course.
All right. I'll do it in a way that will not involve you.
Thank you, Captain Underhill. Thank you very much.
Don't thank me too soon. In this case, my fee is $25,000.
What?
Which Waverly. I'd like up front as a retainer.
Waverly!
Ridiculous, Underhill. She won't pay that.
Then you'd better take me home.
Now, see here a minute.
Never mind, braggers.
But, ma'am...
We'll pay. Mr. Underhill has accurately sized up the situation. There is no time to waste. He knows I'm desperate. I'm willing to pay for results.
And you'll have them. Money back guarantee.
I accept. Braggers, print out a check.
But...
I'll sign.
Yes, ma'am.
And drive these gentlemen home.
Yes, ma'am.
Be sure to get a receipt.
Yes, ma'am.
carefully. There they go.
Yes.
This is certainly a serious situation.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
This Victor Fablou's character, he can't be marrying someone like that, an impostinator. Impostor like that.
You're right, Alex.
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, right now, go sit on the porch and think about it. Whatever it is will have to be done soon. There's not much time, and the closer we get to the wedding...
Waverly, why in the world did you demand such a hefty fee? You don't usually take advantage of clients that way.
Oh, it wasn't that, Alex. But if you're going to bait a trap, you have to have a little cheese, don't you?
What sort of trap?
Well, that's the question. Something tempting. Something tailor-made for a phony French aristocratic, dilettante, gold-digging playboy. Maybe it's time, Alex, to do a little gold-digging ourselves.
En ce temps, à mistake, j'ai fait une réservation pour 2 à 7 heures.
I am sorry, Monsieur Fablos. We have no record of any reservation. I simply have no table to offer you maintenant.
C'est impossible.
Désolé, monsieur, if you and mademoiselle will wait and have a seat in our lounge, we shall serve you a complimentary cocktail.
C'est incroyable. Come along, shall we go?
Oh, Rath, it's the only fancy French restaurant on the Cape. I really wanted to take you here. I'm starving. Everything smells so good.
Bob, look at la foule de crowd. Il sera 9 heures avant que nous puissions dîner.
Pardon me, I couldn't help overhearing. I have a table coming up in a little while, and I'm not in any hurry. You can have mine when it's ready.
That's very nice of you.
Merci, monsieur. Are you certain?
It'll be my pleasure. Lady says she's hungry. I always say it's important to keep beauty well fed.
Now you're being flattering. I have to accept.
Then I'm flattered.
Are you vacationing on the Cape?
No, I wish I were. I expect you are, though.
Not really.
Oh? When I noticed you come in, you seemed quite content and happy. Not newlyweds, are you?
You see, Victor, it shows.
What is that?
Congratulations.
Actually, not yet. We're only engaged.
That's even better. Then it's all before you. Let me buy you a glass of champagne.
I do not think that
you... Oh, don't worry. I make a point never to intrude on newlyweds, or most newlyweds. When my table comes up, I'll insist that you two go off alone and enjoy yourselves.
Yes, we'd love a glass.
Come along.
Fine. Just let me order a bottle.
Come along. Do not have him join us.
He's not going to. He's being nice. I'm not going to be rude. And poli, one glass won't hurt.
One drink. Seulement un.
Here we are. Glasses. And I pour. To your happiness.
Thank you.
Merci. Mon nom est Victor Fablous.
Victor, how do you do? Waverly Underhill.
Je présente ma mariée, Carmeline.
Carmeline. Victor, here's to you again. Victor, you sound like an authentic Frenchman. Are you?
Yeah, oui, I am.
In a French restaurant on Cape Cod? How rare. It's like finding a real cow at McDonald's.
Pardon?
Oh, no, it's nothing.
Are you here on business, then?
Well, I'll tell you if you want me to, but I don't think you'll believe me.
I can believe a lot of things.
Well, actually, I'm here to do a little prospecting.
For what?
Gold.
There's no gold on Cape Cod, is there? It's all sand.
Oh, what about lost gold?
You mean pirate gold?
Oh, not quite. Not pirate gold. In this case, the other way around. A gold pirate.
A what?
Would you like to look at a treasure map?
Treasure? What is?
Treasure. A pirate. Door. Map.
Ah, trésor. Ah, carte trésor, oui.
Do you have one?
Yes. Yes, I'll show you, but not here. Do you mind? Can we move to that empty booth back there? Maître D.
Oui, monsieur Landerhill.
This couple is going to have my table when it comes up. We'll be back there in the lounge. Will you come and get them?
Certainement. Only a few minutes more.
Here we are. Slide in. Now we won't be overheard too easily.
Should we lower our voices?
Do I seem foolish taking these precautions?
No. I don't know. Is it a real treasure map?
No, not really. But it leads to a real treasure, so I guess it is.
Ah, you will show us. Then you will sell us this map, oui?
No, it's not for sale. This is nothing like that. Although you'd better watch out. You know what they say. It takes a con to spot a con.
This is just a regular map, showing the outer arm of the cape.
It's a national seashore map. Now look on it. You see out here near the tip below Provincetown? You see Truro?
Yes.
You see this thin line? That's the Pamet River. The cape is narrow across here, only 4 miles wide. The Pamet River, spring-fed, starts right about here, very close to the Atlantic side. And then it flows across and empties out here into Cape Cod Bay. There's only one thin strip of dunes right here providing the separation. That's right about where the gold is.
Uh-huh, and you will guide us and we will pay.
How come he's so suspicious? You think I'm trying to sell you something?
Well, this isn't really a treasure map. How do you know it's there?
Well, take a look at this.
What is this?
It's a magazine advertisement. It appeared in Travel New England and 17 other major magazines from here to Florida.
Come to Cape Cod. Discover the key to your golden dreams. Highgate Properties. What is this, a contest?
It's a treasure hunt. Highgate does hotels, timeshares, and condominiums.
Many onion? What is? I do not know.
No, Sherry. Condominium. Like, l'appartement.
Ah, oui, condominium.
Of course, the whole purpose with this ad is to lure people to the Cape. Come to Cape Cod. Search for our buried treasure. And while you're here, invest in vacation land.
So you come to search for it?
Yes, but not exactly.
These are the clues?
Only the first set. Nobody will be able to actually figure out where it's buried. They won't have enough clues until 6 weeks into the ads. This is only week two.
But you've already figured it out?
Yes, but, well, not exactly. Here's a photograph of the prize. That's the big giveaway.
Pirateau?
Now that's right, a gold pirate.
How big?
About the size of a chocolate Easter bunny, but solid gold. 70 troy ounces, 5.8 pounds, $25,000 worth.
Wow, it's neat. It really does look like a pirate.
There would have been a wooden leg, but pure gold made the base too weak.
Wonder what it feels like.
It's heavy, believe me. Quite a paperweight.
So how were you smart enough to figure out these clues in advance?
I didn't need to.
Why not?
Because I wrote them.
You did?
That's right. I designed the ad. I buried the treasure. I did the whole thing. It was all working out so well. People were already showing up. Highgate was getting lots of business. And even the Chamber of Commerce was pleased. And then overnight, the whole thing fell apart. Now I've got to retrieve it. If only I can find it.
But if you buried it, you ought to know exactly where it is.
I don't.
Was it a long time ago?
2 weeks.
Do you have amnesia or something?
No, senility maybe. You see, the problem was I thought I had picked the perfect location to bury it. Public land, so no disputes about ownership. A place with lots of ready-made clues, landmarks, and history. The Pamet River goes all the way back to the pilgrims who looked around here for fresh water. It was all perfect. Except, well, I didn't reckon on Mother Nature and her perverse sense of humor.
Ah, pourquoi?
This thin stretch of dunes, right here, last October 19th, something happened here that hadn't occurred there since before the pilgrims.
What was it?
It was an ocean storm, combined with a whole bunch of other factors. Full moon, high tide, strong winds, plus, who knows, maybe the greenhouse effect. But for 3 hours, a week ago last Friday night, the ocean breached the dunes right here and went over. For 3 hours, the Pamet River became an ocean channel. Pilot whales even swam up it. For 3 hours, the entire tip of the cape was cut off. It became a separate island. Of course, when the tide went back down and the storm had passed, everything returned to normal. But by then the damage, as far as I was concerned, had already been done. Millions and millions of cubic yards of sand got shoved around, like a bulldozer did it. Much of the dunes got swept away, carried 100 yards inland.
Oh, my! Then you...
That's right. The treasure may no longer be buried where it was. Or even if it is, who can tell? Because the whole landscape has changed. Many of the landmarks have been wiped out.
What a shame.
Well, to put it mildly, yes. Here I am, designer of a brilliant ad campaign that's working nicely. The company is pleased, even hinting about a bonus. And then this happens. Now, when the public finds out that the clues are worthless, it'll mean bad publicity. People will say it was a swindle. The whole ad campaign will be a waste. The company will look bad. Not only will I lose my last advertising account, but the $25,000 will come out of my retirement.
That's terrible.
Well, it's Mother Nature's fault. Only she won't pay. Just a very unlucky break. Literally. However, if I can find it, all is well.
How will you try?
With a metal detector. Tonight. Only one thing worries me.
What?
If it's buried deeper than before and... Well, truthfully, maybe Victor was right to be slightly suspicious. I'd like to invite you both to accompany me. My doctor says no digging. I did notice you two coming in. You seemed... Well, you seemed reliable. After all, newlyweds are the safest people you can trust. And it won't cost you. I'll pay you $200 just to accompany me. $2,000 if we find it. It'll be worth it to me, and Victor won't think he's being cheated.
Oh, wow, what an adventure. Of course we'll go. You don't have to worry about paying us. We'll go right now.
Gamelin, this is not
what we excellent,
planned.
Excellent, but I do want to pay.
Gamelin!
Very well, I'll go.
You're sweet to be so enthusiastic. Victor, I think you've chosen a marvelous woman, but we'd really like your company, too.
Oh, it's we, is it?
Is that we, meaning yes, or we, meaning Carmeline and I?
Victor, why are you acting this way? Don't go getting so upset.
I am not upset. Very well, I will do it, of course, Sherry, if you wish.
Fine. But let's have a meal first. Gather our strength. Let the moon get up to light our way. And then, after dessert, we'll all go out for a genuine Cape Cod treasure hunt. We'll attempt to show Victor why he shouldn't always be so skeptical. This is as far as we can drive without getting stuck.
We must be close to the ocean. I hear it.
It's just over those dunes. Climb up and take a look if you want.
I don't see a river.
It's out there, in the darkness. You can't really see it even in daytime. It flows through a tangle of cattail and alderbush. Now, step over here. You see up ahead? There's a break in the dunes. In fact, you can see a patch of moonlight on the ocean.
I see it!
That's where the breakthrough occurred. Here, why don't you take the lantern and lead us? Victor, you might as well carry the shovel. Be useful. Even though I know you'd rather be elsewhere.
No, it is a beautiful night for, goose chase?
You mean wild goose chase. Keep talking that way. Carmeline won't share the reward with you.
That's right. I'm keeping it all for myself.
Well, it's a beautiful moon anyway for chercher la goose. Aha, découvre de métal.
Yeah, metal detector. Goldmaster, too. Top of the line. Special attachment allows me to read down feet, not just inches. It's ready, too. Let's go. Head that way. A lot of people consider metal detecting a fun hobby, especially retired folks my age.
Ah, and you will sell us this machine.
Victor, you are too much. No, I am not a salesman for metal detectors. On the Cape, scavenger hunters always come out after big storms and see what the ocean's uncovered. The same way arrowhead collectors search plowed fields after heavy rains. See what's turned up. What's churned up. This sand is loose, isn't it?
I know. Walking in it. I won't have to do my aerobics in the morning.
I'm sure hobbyists have already been out here sweeping the area.
Could someone have found it?
Don't say that. Might turn out to be true.
Oh, ça va se prouver un prétexte, une excuse.
I'm not making excuses. Not yet.
Let's turn here now. Head more away from the ocean. Besides, most collectors are lazy. They don't want to bother digging deep holes. So they only scan a few inches beneath the surface. I think they might have gone to more trouble if they knew what was out here. Hey, let's slow down a bit.
Yes, of course. Rest.
I'm out of breath.
Did your doctor say you should be doing this?
No digging, he said. He didn't say no walking. I'm fine. Anyway, I think we can begin right here. I'm just going to try guessing and see if I get lucky. If not, we'll set up a grid. But a little cold fishing first. I'm picking up something. Already. It's right down there. Only about a foot under.
Should we dig?
No, not yet. Take readings first. This device is a marvel. You make several passes over the target, and each time it records the response, stores it, analyzes it, compares it to known objects, and then makes an educated guess what it thinks is down there, which is aluminum foil. Gum wrapper, probably. The bane of beach collectors. That plus old bottle caps, pull tabs, and fish hooks. Wait, here's something. Something different. This is a good target. 16 to 18 inches under. And the probability is gold.
Oh!
All right, let's try. Dig in, Victor. What is it?
A ring. A gold ring.
Wonderful.
Oh, but the stone's missing. Anyway, that's exciting. We found something.
Let me see.
It is not junk. Anyway, it almost fits.
Victor, you should be excited. Now you won't have to buy her a ring.
Who says?
And so now I can afford to buy your machine, eh?
Oh, never mind. Fill in the hole. I'll keep sweeping. Another gum wrapper. Foiled again. Wait. Here we go. Now this is looking promising. Deep enough. 9 or 10 feet. A larger object, too. Non-ferrous. I'm getting a good, strong reading. It says gold. Okay, we dig.
Let me dig.
No, Charlie, I will do.
Why don't you let her start? You take over when she gets tired. How's he doing?
He's over his head. We must be getting down there.
This is more than a little digging.
You want Carmeline to spell you?
No, I do not want any spelling. Sign of problem.
It's sliding back in almost as fast as he can shovel it out.
Make the hole wider. You may have to. He should be getting close, though.
We found it!
What is it? Can you see? Hand him the lantern.
It's wood.
It's wood. It was packed. It was packed in wood. A wooden chest. All right. Be careful. Don't damage it.
Coming.
Careful.
He's
got it.
That's wonderful. Wonderful. Hand it up. That's it. Here. Carmeline, open the lid. I'll hold the lantern.
Oh, it's so neat.
Look, Victor.
s'il vous plaît.
Right, right. Let's get you out of that hole. After all, you've gotten me out of a real financial...
Donnez-moi la belle, la chaval, chaval!
Oh, careful, careful! He's getting sand in his face!
He's stuck!
He's unconscious! Is he dead?
No, but he must have un parastal, a doctor!
We need an ambulance!
Yes, you go, I'll dig him!
Oh, all right. Here, put my sweater under his head!
Go, be run!
I'll be back as quick as I can!
Angina attack. The pain.
Monsieur, you have la pilule.
Pills. Pills, no pills. Dumb of me, pain. Pain won't go away.
Relax, monsieur. Take it easy. Take it easy. Take it easy.
He's always up by this hour. How come he's not answering?
He hasn't picked up his papers.
What? Who? Oh, good morning.
I say, he hasn't picked up his newspapers.
When did you last see him?
Not since before last night.
Well, do you know if he's home?
No, but he's usually up by now.
Waverly!
Scoville, for heaven's sakes, will you keep the racket down?
I should call the cops. Oh, you're a doctor. You know how important it is for people our age to get rest. I'm surprised at you.
Well, what are you doing sleeping so late? What's all this sand on the kitchen floor?
Oh, it's from my clothing. I got a little sandy at a beach party.
A party? What party?
With our friends, Carmeline Camp and her fiancé. They helped me recover that little lost trinket over there on the bookcase.
Oh, so you tried your plan. How did it go?
Very well. I provided the temptation, and even the means and the opportunity. A frail old man, me, a statue worth $25,000. I even fell in the hole and faked a heart attack to make it extra easy. She ran off with the doctor. He could have finished me off, Alex. He could have filled in the hole and buried me right on the spot. Taken the gold statue and made up some story to satisfy Carmeline. But he didn't. I think that speaks well for him.
Or is he simply playing for bigger stakes?
How honestly, Alex, you're so cynical these days. When have you taken such a dim view of humanity?
Yes, and who taught me that?
Well, in this case, it's undeserved. When I fell in that hole, the sides were caving in. He jumped in after me without a thought, without a moment's hesitation. A con man never would. Cons are predictably selfish and self-centered. A con man, a playboy gold digger, a potential poisoner, they're all the same. Not one of them would risk himself for the sake of a stranger. Victor Fabluse is a fine boy. I intend to inform Lady Kemp exactly that. I think they ought to get married.
Uh-oh. Well, get ready. You can tell her now. Her limo just pulled up. Here comes her chauffeur, Mr. Braggers.
Coming to check on the retainer.
When he tells Lady Kemp you're recommending the boy, she'll demand her money back.
And she'll have it. I'll give her the gold pirate.
Mr. Underhill?
I know. You've come about
it. I'm looking for Dr. Schofield. Is he here?
He's here.
Dr. Schofield, come quick. You're needed. Lady Kemp is gravely ill. We think she's being poisoned.
Lady Kemp.
Oh, Waverly, there you are. Resting. The crisis seems to have passed.
What's your diagnosis?
Well, I can't be sure. Something ingested. She complained of stomach cramps, nausea, just after her mid-morning tea.
So the servants told me. I've rescued the teacup. It was washed, but the cup is old. The glaze crackled. But it's possible enough of a trace has been left behind.
Waverly, I'm thinking we should call the police.
Oh, don't do that.
Why not? There's been an attempt.
Yes.
Well, look at the boy's family history.
I am looking at it. People don't inherit becoming poisoners.
But environment does count for something. His father didn't exactly set a good example. If that boy is not going to be arrested, he should at least be kept away from the family.
You're forgetting, Schofield. He has to be married first before he can benefit by someone in the family dying.
Exactly. And who is standing in his way? Lady Kemp.
Does he know that?
Oh, he must suspect.
Oh, don't assume that.
Waverly, I can't just sit back. I have a responsibility. I'm her physician.
Now, hold on, Alex. You're analyzing this all wrong.
Well, how am I?
There's a great deal of difference between actual murder and attempted murder, between attempted poisoning and poisoning that succeeds.
I don't see any difference.
What if Victor Fabluz didn't do it? Then someone else did. Someone who has a motive for framing him.
Well, who?
I can think of quite a few. What about Carmeline's mother in Texas? What about both her husbands, including the phony billionaire? What about Carmeline's first fiancé? Not Victor, but the first guy she was going to marry, whom she jilted.
Oh, yes.
What about Attorney Braggers, hmm?
Oh, yes.
What about Carmeline?
Oh, no, that's ridiculous.
Is it? Isn't Lady Kemp standing in the way of her plans as much as Victor's? And have you thought about Lady Kemp herself? Isn't it possible she's not entrusting this to me? She's trying her own scheme, implicating him.
Oh.
Tell me, Alex, how well do you remember your Charles Dickens?
What? Oh, Balderdash Waverly, why do you always bring up something like that?
Do you remember Great Expectations?
Some of it. It's been a long time since I... But why do you...
Because there are certain parallels. You recall there was the young man Pip who was confident he was going to come into a great inheritance?
I guess I do.
And remember there was Miss Havisham, the bitter old lady who appeared to hate all men, including Pip, and whom Pip thought was secretly his anonymous benefactor.
Well, now that you mention it all, I do. You're saying Victor is Pip.
Yes.
And Lady Kemp is Miss Havisham.
Yes. Now, do you remember what was the final twist in that story?
No.
It was that Miss Havisham was not his secret benefactor. In fact, she never had given him a penny. Miss Havisham turned out to be exactly as she appeared, hating all men, including Pip.
Mr. Underhill is here. Where is he?
Lady Kemp, you should be back in bed.
It's all right. I'm feeling better. Mr. Underhill, how are you succeeding?
Making progress.
Progress won't do. The wedding is only days off. I may not be around for it.
So I understand. Doctor, would you mind if I had a few words alone with Lady Kemp?
Oh, no. Yes, of course. Of course.
Lady Kemp, may I confer with you hypothetically?
Hypothetically?
Yes.
Yes.
There are certain difficulties I'm having with this assignment. I'm sure you'll agree events have taken a dangerous turn.
I hardly would argue.
I intend to have this teacup analyzed, and if it does show traces, would you agree that whoever did this deserves something similar?
In what way?
Well, it's simply that it's possible to arrange for a price. You wouldn't have to know or to be involved. You'd only have to give your approval and get results that way.
Mr. Underhill, I couldn't authorize anything that drastic. You still have a few days, can't you? Isn't there some means, some legitimate means? Of course, if you could prove he did it, I could press charges.
Would you?
Of course I would, definitely. But only before the wedding. It has to be done before the wedding.
Well, Waverly, what was that all about?
Oh, not much, Alex. Just satisfying a small question.
One thing I wanted to ask you.
Oh, what's that?
Who was the anonymous benefactor?
You mean Pip's anonymous benefactor?
Yes. You mentioned it wasn't Miss Havisham. Who was it?
You've forgotten the story. It was Magwitch, remember?
Who?
Magwitch, the escaped convict. Pip helped him get away. He fled to Australia, got rich, and secretly sent back money to the boy.
And you say this case is like that book?
In many ways.
So, if Lady Kemp is Miss Havisham, and Victor is Pip...
And Carmeline is the beautiful Estella, with whom Pip was in love and was going to marry.
All right, then who is the Magwitch?
Ah, who? That's what we're going to find out. And I think I've figured out exactly the way to do it.
Captain Underhill, I assume you have some good reason for this.
I do.
Tomorrow is the wedding.
I'm aware of that.
You haven't accomplished anything. They are still together, still going through with it.
Be patient, please. We're about to find out. But I'll need you to keep an open mind. It's possible Victor Fablus may not be the mountebank you assume.
Oh, really? A man who goes about by a false name?
He did give up the count.
The what?
His title. Count Fabian de Voyant. He dropped it.
He dropped it because he knew it wouldn't work in America. Title sounds silly over here.
I understand what you mean, Lady Kemp.
Dr. Schofield, would you mind escorting your friend out? I am not accustomed to being insulted in my own home.
Waverly!
Sorry.
For your information, Mr. Underhill, my real name is Addie. Lady is a nickname that was attached to me as I was growing up. I had nothing to do with it.
I apologize.
Lady Kemp, you sent for me?
No, Braggers, I did not.
I did. Have a seat. Here's Carmeline and Victor, too. Now we can get started.
Grandmother? Grandmother, what is... Mr. Underhill? Mr. Underhill, what are you doing here?
I'll explain. I'm here to help clear up a very important matter.
And what is that?
The attempted poisoning of Lady Kemp, Victor. Someone put arsenic in her teacup.
Grandmother!
It's true.
This has been confirmed by laboratory analysis. Now, I have to inform all of you, though we don't know for certain who it was, we do know it was someone in this room.
We already know who did it.
Nothing of the kind, Mr. Braggers. Let's be fair. I doubt if any of us would appreciate being judged on the sins of our relatives.
What is this? Some kind of inquisition?
Exactly, Carmeline. Could we have that cart wheeled in, please? This is the means by which we're going to determine the culprit.
Another machine, Mr. Underhill? Découvert de métal?
True, Victor. Only not a metal detector this time. A lie detector. This polygraph comes, compliments of my friends in the FBI. Left over from when I was a fully functioning police captain.
So you're a cop, a detective. She hired you, didn't she?
What is this?
Please try not to interrupt, Carmeline. Things will move a
lot.
You
hired him, didn't you, Grandmother?
Well, what difference does it make? We know who's guilty.
You surprise me, Braggers. Don't lawyers know a person is innocent until
they
he's...
They also know that if something walks like a duck and quacks like a duck...
It's very often a donkey.
Now, what's that supposed to mean?
Now, wait. Let me explain. I'll explain everything. But first, let me show you how this machine works. It's a simple device. It works on the same principle as the laser beam in the checkout line. You don't have to be hooked up with wires. All you have to do is insert your right hand, palm down, into this small unit on top, and then make any statement you wish. The machine will be able to tell if you're lying or telling the truth. I'll demonstrate. Insert my hand through this collar, palm down, and then I say, "My name is Waverly Underhill." You see? It's true. "I live on Cape Cod." True. "I have gray hair." True. "I have a $6 million bank account." You see? False. "I often have bananas for lunch." True. "I eat 5,000 bananas a week." You see, it's quite sensitive.
I fooled around with it last night. Wasn't able to fool it once.
Oh, wait a minute. We're not doing this thing.
Nobody's forcing anybody.
I have nothing to hide.
Now, I'm going to push the card into this next room. It's a connecting closet. It'll be dark in there, so no stray light interferes with the sensors. Each of you will step in one at a time. Insert your hand as I showed you and say out loud three statements. State your name. My name is... And say something else that is true. How tall you are, your hair color, whatever. And then say, I did not attempt to poison Lady Kemp. After that, step into the opposite room and wait until we all reassemble. Now, I'm just going to wheel it in.
This is totally without legal precedent.
It's all strictly voluntary.
Well, I advise everybody...
Stop! We're all going to do it. I'll go first.
But Lady Kemp...
I said we'll all do it. Braggers, you after me.
All right. We're ready.
Close the door. My name is Lady Addie Kemp. I have silver hair. I did not attempt to poison Lady Kemp.
All right. Who's next?
I'll go. My name is Carmeline Kemp. I have blonde hair. I did not attempt to poison Lady Kemp.
Next. Victor.
Enchanté.
Je m'appelle Victor Fablouse, comme Fabien de Voyant. I have black hair. I did not attempt to poison Madame Kemp.
Who's next? How about you, Schofield?
You want me?
Everybody who's willing.
Oh, fine. All right. My name is Alexander Schofield. I don't have much hair. I did not attempt to poison Lady Kemp.
Well, Braggers, how about you?
He had better do it!
Close that door. My name is Jason Dix Braggers. I have brown hair. I did not attempt to poison Lady Kemp.
Well, Waverly, we're all reassembled.
That's right, Captain. Are you satisfied?
Quite satisfied.
And do you know who did it?
Yes, I do.
Excuse me, Mom.
What is it, Bridget?
There's a police officer here to see Mr.
Victor Fablos.
Oui, that is me.
Victor, you are under arrest for the attempted murder of Lady Kemp. I advise you that anything you say
what,
can't...
What is this? Ridiculous!
I'm sorry,
not
ma'am.
Guilty?
He'll have to come along with me.
He's not going!
I will go.
Caroline, don't interfere.
No, Grandmother, don't you interfere. He didn't do it. I know he couldn't. He's innocent.
Caroline!
Don't anybody try to take him.
Sorry, ma'am. Stand aside. Victor, I'll have to handcuff you and take you down to the station.
No! Don't! You can't!
It is all right, mon chéri.
Victor! 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 What is that soot all over your hand? Look! My hand, too.
Look at all your hands.
My hand is dirty.
So is mine.
Say, what is this?
By the way, that was very nicely done, Carmeline. You score big points for that.
Captain Underhill!
Ladies and gentlemen, meet Bill. Bill's not a real police officer. Are you, Bill?
Building contractor. How do, everybody? Miss, that was a real nice job sticking up for your fiancé like that.
Captain Underhill, what is the meaning of this?
Just doing what you asked me to, Lady Kemp.
Asked him to? Grandmother, I warned you about
Medley. Don't be so quick to judge your grandmother. She's a born worrier, I'll grant. But she loves you very much. So much so, she hired me. You may take that as an insult, but the fact is, her concerns about Victor were reasonable and legitimate. Fortunately, I understood better than she. You'll forgive me, Lady Kent. Why she was hiring me.
She really wanted someone to set her mind to rest. But what was I to do? Merely investigating Victor's background was not going to solve anything. Was it, Victor? That had already been done and turned up your father's criminal record.
That is true.
But the fact your father may have poisoned his wife doesn't make you, the son, automatically a poisoner.
It does not.
Far from it. Let's not forget it was your mother he poisoned.
Monsieur, that is something I will never forget.
What was really needed was a test of character. So I devised one.
The gold pirate?
Exactly.
That was all a fake.
No, it was all a test. Real gold, mind you. Planted deliberately by me for the purpose of seeing how Victor would react. I'm pleased to report he reacted beautifully. I was going to say as much to Lady Kemp.
You shouldn't fake heart attacks.
No doubt I shouldn't. But I didn't fake the danger. That sandslide was real. I was about to be buried under, but Victor jumped in and held me up. Never hesitated. Did you, Victor?
If I had thought first, I might have done.
I doubt it. Anyway, before I could report this, along came the poisoning incident. That threw an entirely new complexion on things.
Yes, Waverly, you haven't told us.
Well, who was it? Do you know?
Look at your hands. They'll tell you. That polygraph was just a modified wrinkle on an old police trick. Developed in India 1,000 years ago. It wasn't quite pin the tail on the donkey. It was more like pull the tail of the donkey. Their polygraph was a donkey, a real one. But the Punjab police told the simple villagers it was a magic donkey. Whoever pulled its tail, if that person were innocent, the donkey would not bray. If guilty, it would. They would round up all the suspects and make them go into a dark room alone with the donkey. Those who were innocent, believing in their innocence, would naturally pull the tail, not being afraid. The guilty one would only say he had pulled the tail without touching it at all. All they had to do was dust the tail beforehand with a little black powder, and whoever doesn't touch it incriminates himself. Look at your hands.
I've got a mark.
I do.
I do. So do I.
But we all have.
Exactly. You all pass. Fabluse passes his second test, showing he believes in his own innocence.
Well, somebody tried to poison me.
Somebody did.
The Magwitch.
Exactly. The person whose hand is unsmudged.
But we all...
Doctor, it's right in front of your face. Captain Underhill's hand is unsmudged. He did it.
You're the Magwitch.
Didn't I say it was someone with a motive for framing Victor? Well, didn't I have one? This was his third test of character. Instead of dangling a gold prize, I threw up a cloud of suspicion. See how he would handle it. Would he run? No. No, he did fine. He never flinched.
But Waverly, you didn't put arsenic in her teacup.
No. No, of course not. There was no arsenic. No lab test either. There was only a mild emetic. You remember I was asking you how they worked?
Waverly, I thought you were asking hypothetically.
It's a rule, Alex. When people speak hypothetically, they often speak the truth.
Is that what you were speaking to me when you spoke, hypothetically?
No, Lady Kemp. That was a test of your character. I figured it was only fair if I was testing Victor without his knowledge to test yours. I gave you the opportunity to descend to the level of a thug. You refused. So you passed.
Did I pass?
Yes, Carmeline. All three times. When you helped me dig the treasure... When you passed the donkey box test. And when you stuck up for Victor just now as our policeman was hauling him away. You see, this is one of those rare cases, all too rare, I'm afraid, where there are no bad people, no villains. Only people of goodwill a little misled, a little mistrusting because of suspicions arising out of their love and concern for each other. Not bad. You can't beat that. As for Victor... Three times he was tested, and three times he rang true. Carmeline, I think you've got a hell of a catch there. You better snatch him up. And now I suggest we get down to rehearsing. There's a big day tomorrow.
Captain Underhill, I'm glad to see you got through at least one public occasion without creating a disturbance.
Yes, perhaps I have.
Raggers informs me they're letting you drive them to the airport.
They've allowed me that privilege. But one has to sit in the front, and one in the back.
Why?
Fulfilling my guarantee. My promise was to drive them apart.
Raggers wouldn't like it, but I might forgive you. I should have liked to have seen the wedding present you gave them. I saw the metal detector you gave Victor.
Goldmaster, too.
The other gift said, a treasure, not to be opened till after the honeymoon.
Well, I opened them all at once.
It had a curious heft.
You think so?
I should say a familiar heft. Well, goodbye, Mr. Underhill, and thank you for my granddaughter, for myself.
Enchanté, madame.
Carmeline, Victor, come here. I want to say something.
I heard all that, Waverly. You ought to be exceedingly proud of yourself. Look at all the happiness you've created, all thanks to you. I'm just all proud of you.
Thank you, Alex. I'll marry you, too.
Well, you know, you were tested, too.
I was?
Many another man in your position might have kept that gold. Might have tried running off with a girl, too. You didn't. That shows, well, that shows your ethical judgment.
Ethical? Not running off with a girl? Has more to do with age than ethics, I'm afraid. As for the gold, what are you talking about? The gold pirate is sitting at home on my bookcase.
What? You're keeping it?
Well, sure. They certainly don't need it. I might need some crown work someday.
But what about the hefty wedding present? The treasure they're not to open until after the honeymoon.
I gave them a complete set of the works of Charles Dickens, not some piece of junk metal. I said a treasure, didn't I? Besides, who says I'm not running off with her?
You have been listening to Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater's presentation of The Golden Idol, The Magwitch, and The Donkey's Tale. The actors in tonight's play? Dave Ellsworth played Captain Waverly Underhill. Wally O'Hara was Dr. Alexander Schofield. Ed Cochran played Attorney Dix Braggers. And Anne-Marie Lang was Carmeline Kemp. Victor Fabluse was played by Stephen Russell. The maitre d' was Henry Morlock. Police Officer Bill by Dan Yance. And the part of Lady Addie Kemp was performed by Bernadette McPherson. Tonight's play was produced, written, and directed by Stephen Thomas Oney. Audio engineering by John Todd. Sound personnel, Debbie Oney. Original music by Mark Birmingham. Special thanks to White's Electronics, to Rick Marceau for the metal detector, to Anne Toole for the French, and a tip of the hat to William F. Buckley's story of the lost silverware. This show was recorded at HT Recording Studio, Cape Cod, and Rosemead, Los Angeles, and is copyrighted by Stephen Thomas Oney for Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater. This is Stephen Russell, wishing you a pleasant evening and inviting you to tune in again when the fog rolls in on another chapter of Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater.
Grateful acknowledgement to the Cape Cod Chamber of Commerce.